let's transition right into talking wine.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese Company and Crossroads Beverage Company joining us for this week's Message in the Bottle. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. It's awesome to be here, as it always is, but perhaps extra awesome today, as we are going to taste dos wines, too.
Two bottles came out of that box, and three guys in here were smiling broadly.
It's, you know, as you said, it's like Christmas. Before we launch in, I have to admit a little mea culpa. Last week, we were talking biodynamics, and I mistakenly said that the show, the Tuesday, was a favorable day. I credit my tremendously bad eyesight with simply making a mistake. Last Tuesday was a root day. It was not a very good day, but that's sort of a tribute to the quality of the wine we were drinking that it still tasted so darn good.
It was fabulous.
It wasn't as fabulous as it even could have been. As I said, my bad. Today, however, is a good day. Yesterday, because of the full moon, was an insanely good day to drink. So this is a fruit day, as it was yesterday. So hopefully our wines will show very, very nicely. Just to recap for everybody, we've been talking all this month. Our message has been about purity and different agricultural methods. So first we visited standard agricultural practices using chemical pesticides, fertilizers, etc. We talked about certified organic with that lovely Rioja. Then last week we talked about biodynamic practices. This week we're going to talk about the single practice that's employed more than anything else for the better wines out there in the world, and that is, in terms of lacking an English equivalent, sheer practicality. In French, they call it lut raisonné, which in real terms means piss off. But what it really means is my grandfather taught me to farm this way. His grandfather taught him how to farm that way. We use, you know, the most natural methods available very often because it's also the most cost effective. We have fertilizer from the animals that we have, things like that. But we're also not going to lose our 10 hectares of crop because that's our livelihood until the next year. If we need to spray something really quick and get it over with, we're going to do that. And there's another deeper reason why, and there's that is being sort of brought out in places like Oregon. They've actually created a term called salmon safe, which is essentially lut raisonné using organic methods, but also not specifically not spraying with copper sulfite. Copper sulfite, something that people will spray to prevent mildew, powdery mildew. That copper over time can leach into the groundwater and poison the groundwater. And so there's a lot of people who are saying, well, I don't want to do that either. So that doesn't really make as much sense. So today we're talking about this sort of practical method of agriculture, and it really makes a lot of sense. One of the other reasons it makes a lot of sense is because it costs nothing to get no certification. as silly as that sounds, but I mean, a lot of these guys, as I said, they're smaller farmers. They are essentially selling everything that they make. They believe in what they make. They believe that it's clean. They know that they use, you know, organic, sustainable methods. So beyond that, what's the point? So today's first wine, and I will remind everyone that you can taste the wines that we taste every month at our monthly tastings. So last week we had our monthly tastings, and we tried this very wine. This is Château Saint-Cyrgue. Château Saint-Cyrgue is basically a Rhone wine. It is not official. It's from a region called the Côtier de Nîmes, which is where the Rhone Valley meets the start of the region of Provence. It is indescribably lovely there, and it is a really, really nice region to practice, sustainable agriculture. There's not as many overt problems that pop up like mildews and things like that. It's a fairly dry region. This is a blend of Grenache and Syrah, two very typical grapes from the region. And this is a very simply done wine, but I think it really speaks volumes as to what a simple wine from that part of the world can do. It's, you know, $13 on the shelf, so it's a very reasonably priced wine as well.
That's
very
awesome.
Smooth. Yeah. Very smooth.
Yeah, very, very nice and delightful. A little
bit
of weight.
Got quite the bouquet there.
It's
I smelled this from across the room.
There you go.
Wow.
You sound like everybody I've ever heard at a wine tasting, Rich.
Right. It's got nice legs.
Tasty.
We'll talk about legs some other time. About the wine. The wine.
The wine.
So to close this out, and then we're going to move on to our next wine because it's something that I get asked about a lot, and so it sort of fit into this, the whole agriculture practice. But to close out, everybody, there is no right answer, I think, is what we've discovered in our tastings here and in the shops. In terms of purity in wine, really not to be all drastic, but what you really have to do is trust in your wine merchant. Trust that the chain that gets you that wine is has your best interest at heart, and very often they do. There's not a lot of people out there really focused on inferior quality wines these days. Frankly, those bases have been covered. And will continue to be covered by the usual offenders. And it's very hard to break into that market because of that. I mean, it's very, very difficult to produce really inexpensive, junky wine and get it on the shelves these days. So really, you're in good shape, regardless of the method of agriculture.
Ryan, I have a message for you, by the way.
What's up?
Just come in from our friend Bruce Pratt, who says, tell Ryan that it is fine to drink both bottles the same night. I'm a skilled professional. Trust me.
I'm going to go with Dr. Pratt.
Well played. Oh, my. Look at this. Coming your way.
So now I'm having rich, poor. We'll see how that goes. So folks, the next thing we're going to do is we're switching to a Riesling. Riesling is, of course, a grape very, very famous in Germany, upstate New York. This one in particular comes from Washington State. Washington State is turning out tremendously good wines these days. They have an agricultural region that is so varied that you can get spots where it'll grow really excellent Riesling, which grows better in cooler climates, and Cabernet Sauvignons, Merlots, Syrahs that grow better in warmer climates. Really tremendous and really giving California a run for its money in terms of diversity. So this wine is interesting. Why? It is an organic wine. It is, interestingly enough, the first certified organic wine vineyard that ever appeared in Washington in 1990. The vineyard's owner is named Bill Powers, and he's considered one of the leaders in the organic wine industry. But what it also is a no sulfite added wine. Oh. So whether or not the wine is made organically, sulfites have been used for a long, 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 long time to help preserve wines, right? There's naturally occurring sulfites, just a tiny, tiny bit as a byproduct of fermentation. So there's always sulfite that would be in wine, but really minimal amounts. But this is a wine that has gone through the organic certification and all that, so it's super pure. But the problem comes then when you're talking about shelf life and expectancy. So people who are really searching for the ultimate purity where there's not even been sulfites added to preserve that wine, the chances of it re-fermenting in the bottle because there might be some trace amounts of yeast and sugar, obviously, especially in a Riesling where there might be some purposely leftover what we call residual sugar. Mm-hmm. So you could have re-fermentation. And also it's simply the shelf life is very, very diminished. So it's a tricky thing. You'll never find, with all due respect to Bill Powers and people who are trying to do this, you'll never find a truly great age-worthy, no sulfite added wine. But the good news is that most people who think they have sensitivities of sulfites, it's probably not that. It's probably something else. Best thing to do is talk with your doctor. But the best trick is if you can drink Tropicana orange juice, you can drink wine with sulfites because there's far more in there to preserve that. Just a simple thing. Sulfites are used to preserve an awful lot in this world. Medicine, as I said, orange juice, all sorts of products that you don't think about it. But because wine is the only product that the U.S. requires contains sulfites on the label, people think it's a bigger issue than it is. So I just wanted to do that. This was our wild card wine of the month, and I did want to taste through it with you guys. Yeah.
So very fruity.
Yeah.
Very clean.
Fresh, too. Clean. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things I like to be able to offer folks at the shop, something like that, in case they do have that sensitivity. I have sort of posed the Tropicana question to people before, and they've said, yes, I can't have that. It's true. It's so that sensitive. But people often perceive their headaches that they get as sensitivity to sulfites. Very often the actual sensitivities to sulfites are things like rash, hives, things like that, cramps.
A lot of the same things as gluten intolerance.
Actually, interestingly, yeah. Because that's where it kind of comes out is through your system. The headaches are very often, if they're behind sort of in your sinuses, that very often is a histamine thing. Sometimes it's sheer dehydration, and frankly, maybe you had too much alcohol if it's that next morning, top of the forehead. Dehydration, of course, is a thing.
None of us here know what that means.
No.
Not at all. Not acquainted with that.
No.
Is this type that we're trying now, is this supposed to be served coolish?
Coolish, yeah. Yeah, there's we'll talk about serving temperature perhaps 1 month, but yeah, generally I liked reds to come out. This concept of room temperature for reds was probably established when room temperature was not 72 degrees, as we can all attest in most parts of Maine, except this studio right here. Room temperature is usually about 62 degrees.
Yep.
And I like cellar temperature, which I think is about 50 to 55 degrees, and then it warms up from there. And then white's about 10 degrees cooler than that typically.
Okay.
So I'd say that's about where this is, yeah. And then just let's not forget that wine dinner before we close out.
March 1st
coming right up. We have sold a significant amount of the tickets, but I know there are some left, some here at Seasons, because I'm dropping them off after the show. Tickets are going very fast. As we all know, Mainers don't like to RSVP and like to do things at the last second, and so that's what's happening now. But it's a tremendous dinner that Chef Trevor's put together, $60 a head. So Bangor Wine and Cheese or Seasons Restaurant, you can get tickets to that, and benefits the Vine Street PTO. And what more do we have? Next month, we're going to talk about closures, or as I like to put it, put a cork in it, bub.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll look forward to that.
All right.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese. You know we're there. 86 Hammond Street, Bangor, right between Massimo's and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Soon to be right between Brahma Grill. And
that's correct. Yeah, I'm very excited. I love Brett. Massimo's moving straight up the street, so his love for the community in terms of belly love will still be happening. And I know Brett's going to do a great job. So exciting new entry.
Lots of meat.
I grew up on a cow farm, so I'm all in.
There you go. Check it out. And of course, Crossroads Beverage Company, 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind the Rite Aid, just off the Moosehead Trail. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.